I may have been wrong. It's the news, according to me. Well, yes, hello, hello, yes, hello. It is Tuesday, February 28th, the last day of the month, 6:38 a.m. in the morning. It is early up here. That's what it is. It's early. That's what we call it. Let's just call it early. Let's not even talk about what time it is. Let's just say it's Tuesday early, February 28th, 2023. And I have cat hair all over me. I have, I've been wrestling with the cat this morning. The cat was in rare form this morning. It was, I had to get up a little earlier. My wife had to leave the house, like at 5:30. And there's some chores that have to be done with the doggies, the animals. They get some pills, they get some snacks and treats and all this stuff that they have to get. It's mostly, we give them the snacks with the pills stuck in them. So we had some, we went through a round of kennel cough here, so they're having some issues. The cat's fine, obviously. Prouncing off all bouncing off the walls, terrorizing the dogs. And then, of course, wanted to try to get into the room here where I do the recording here at the home studio. And I had to pay some attention to the cat, or he would go nuts. But he'll get some attention after the show here. But the I did say something yesterday. I want to say before I get started anything else, I did say something yesterday about the. By the way, my day has changed. I'm not doing the trip to the vet this morning. I'm going to be doing that till Friday, which means that's going to get in the way of the early, or actually, it shouldn't get in the way of the live show too much. I'm going to be all prepared for it. I should get the dog over to the vet before 8 o'clock. And probably the live show is probably going to happen around 9. That's the idea. I would say by 9 o'clock, about 9 o'clock on Friday will be the live show. I might be doing Rumble. Not sure how this is all going to work yet. I may go to the International Studio, International Home Headquarters, and see how that goes. In the meantime, I have something I want to apologize for. I guess yesterday I made, for some reason, I got confused with the report that I had heard because I'm a confused old man. That's my excuse. I have I thought that the Department of Energy, which I don't know, the Energy Department, what are they calling it now? I thought that their report came out and said that it was not a lab leak. Now, why the Department of Energy is getting involved in this? Again, I've heard explanations, but there's been no explanation that actually explains it. But this study, apparently done by the Department of Energy, Department of Energy, said that they thought that this was there was no way that this was a lab leak. Well, actually, that's the other way around. They're highly confident that it was a lab leak and not a wet market. So I don't know why it seems like the CDC now is talking about things like gas stoves, and the Department of Energy is talking about virology. So I'm not sure exactly what's happening here. In the meantime, I'm just going to talk about what's in my cup. Now, I have in my cup another cup of chai with vanilla chai. That's going to be the staple for the rest of the week, by the way, just so you know. Unless it's not. See, you might tune in and all of a sudden there's something different in my cup and you won't know about it unless you tune in. There may be a surprise later on in the week. Now, in my backup cup here, I do have sweet tea with a little bit of peach mango V8 Fusion. It's quite refreshing. However, I just realized I forgot to take my vitamins this morning. I take a little cocktail of different kinds of vitamins. I take a multivitamin by naturally sourced multivitamins. Looks like a horse pill. And then I've got some krill oil, of course, for my arteries. And I've got some K2. I take K2. Which there's a couple different benefits to K2. It's a little known thing. However, the thing that makes the green leafy vegetables so good for you is the stuff that is one of the things is K2. It's hard to find in anything unless you eat a lot of sauerkraut, which I don't really care for. This K2 stuff is kind of good for your, it's good for gut health. It's good for your kidneys and your liver. But it also, it reduces, and the reason it's good for those is it reduces inflammation in your arteries. And what happens is your arteries get in this inflammation that is actually the cause of hardening of arteries is the plaque that builds up. And the plaque builds up because of irritation in the arteries caused by certain foods we eat. And so this K2 stuff and the krill oil and the vitamin B12 and all the other things that are out there that I'm trying to and it's not so much that they make you Superman. It's the diet that you eat is hard to maintain a steady flow of the proper nutrients in your body. So this, by taking these supplements, I'm getting every day I'm having a certain amount of these foods, these nutrients in my body, so that it's there. And I also take vitamin C and vitamin D. D is really important for a lot of things. They're discovering more and more about vitamin D being really, really critical for health. But I digress. The main thing to think about here is the way the just keeping that steady flow of certain things, certain nutrients in my body, so that those things are available. I'm sure there's days, you know, some days I eat fish, and I eat a lot of fish, actually. So some days I eat fish, and it's like, I probably wouldn't have needed that krill oil. But at the same time, it's there. It's there every day. And then I have same thing with the K2. Some days I eat lots of salad. I eat, you know, different kinds of salad, green leafy stuff. And then other days I don't. Most days I don't, by the way. Usually I feed the leafy, green leafy stuff to the stuff I eat. That's how I get my vegetables, vicariously through the animals that eat them. So, and I'm appreciative for that, for their life that they gave for me. I have, I mean that seriously, so sincerely, that is something to consider. That was life. And it's, so, I've been listening over the past 24 hours to a lot of different YouTube videos. Believe it or not, I know it's rare. Oh, by the way, I'm recording this on two different platforms this morning because yesterday's awesome show was only about 10 minutes of it was captured, and I had to go back and rehash some things. And I'm sure I missed some things and probably even rehash some things that I did. I wasn't gonna go back and listen to the first 10 minutes just so I could get the, because it was just getting long in the day. And I was like, I'm just gonna get the show out there. Now today, by the way, why is that little flag on there? I'm recording. I wonder why that is on there. Oh, it's interesting. I'm recording this to two different things independently. That way, I can just keep on talking if one of them quits. So that's what's happening this morning. I have, it's been interesting to see the way things are unfolding and unraveling right now. And it seems to be a tidal wave happening. Now, the way the media is spinning some of these things, the legacy media is really doing backflips in yoga moves. If you want to get some good yoga moves, just the legacy media is doing right now, MSNBC and CNN, ABC. They are, and unfortunately, they went on record on video saying things during the initial part of the pandemic about what was happening. And if you said anything contrary to what they were saying, you were labeled, you weren't just labeled a conspiracy theorist. You were canceled. You were socially ridiculed and run out of town. You were ostracized, called all kinds of names. The rhetoric was stirred up to the point where people were screaming at other people in the streets. If you didn't wear a mask, you were yelled at, kicked out of stores. It was amazing. Put it in Jesse Lee. Amazing. And this stuff was happening all over the country. All over the country. Because the rhetoric and the, what's the word? Hysteria was so hyped up by the media and people like Anthony Fauci. There's been a few exchanges between Anthony Fauci and Rand Paul on the Congress floor, Senate floor. And it's been very interesting, to say the least, to see how Fauci has squirmed around and tried to make Rand Paul out to be the bad guy.
Well, you know, this kind of rhetoric is what, you know, there was a man who came after me. He was planning to kill me. He was coming across the United States, and he had an AR-15, and he had several magazines, and he was going to come and kill me because he thought I was killing people.
And that's not Rand Paul's fault. Let's say that five times fast. That's not Rand's fault. We didn't hear Anthony Fauci getting up and talking about this wacko Bernie supporter who shot a bunch of senators and just about killed Scalise. Oh, he was just some poor guy who just went nuts. By the way, the other day, Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's wife, I almost said wife, husband, apparently he was almost put in jail yesterday. He called into to Congress there, and he was trying to figure out where Nancy was. He was needing to get to talk to her about something. And so he got a hold of her chief of staff person, her head administrator. And he said, "Where's Nancy?" And immediately the FBI swooped into his house and almost arrested him, held him at gunpoint for a while, because they thought he was a January 6th insurrectionist. Apparently using that term, "Where's Nancy?" That's a trigger point. Anybody using that term. So be careful out there, folks. Don't be saying those insurrectionist words. Like, "Where's Nancy?" Little dig on the whole thing of, you know, what they did to that the guy who, the knucklehead that apparently broke into the Pelosi's house and whatever was going on there. Said, "Where's Nancy?" And of course that was, we've been told now by the president that he used the same rhetoric the January 6th people did. Even though he had nothing to do with the right or the right wing or the being a Trump supporter or being caring about the election whatsoever. This guy was a knucklehead. He's got mental issues. But we're supposed to believe that it was an attack. It was a political attack. Just within the last month, our current president said these things. He's all concerned about lynchings, all kinds of weird stuff coming out of this guy's mouth right now. Because, you know, lynchings happen every day. And since when has the noose, by the way, Bubba Wallace is in the news again. Because apparently, some guy was trying to pass him. And he has this explanation for why he ended up not, because he wasn't taking me, and so he was supposed to, you know, he was supposed to back off or whatever. It was a three wide pass that was happening, and they got rules about, you know, how you can pass and when you can pass and what all this kind of stuff, and it's technical. But, you know, all is fair in love and war and racing. So I don't know. I don't understand. So, but he's been made out to be an untouchable messiah now within NASCAR, because somebody prior to him being in this garage apparently decided to tie a loop at the end of a garage rope, garage door rope, so they could grab it easier and pull it down. Now, I've got a rope on my garage door. I have a loop on the end of it because when the garage door goes all the way up, this is at my at the headquarters, when the garage door goes all the way up, I can't reach it, or it's hard to reach. So I put a loop in the end of it so that I can grab it with a little pole thing I got. It's a very high door. So I can, and that way I don't have this big long rope on the thing when it gets done. Now I could put a longer rope on it and tie it off to the side, but then it gets caught on stuff and it's a pain in the butt. So I have this set up. Now, this is what people do. But all of a sudden, this thing becomes a noose. And apparently a noose has some kind of racial slur. I did some looking up on this a little bit, looked at the statistics here. First of all, a noose is just a noose. It's a piece of rope it's a slip knot. It's a very sturdy, very stout noose. Back in the day, the only time we talked about nooses much at all for most of Americans was in Westerns when people would get hung. And by the way, statistically speaking, more white people, more Europeans have been hung with a noose than African Americans have been. But to listen to the left and the radicals, you'd think that every single one of them were killed by nooses. Now, I don't know a lot of farmers that go out and kill their cows. I'm being realistic here for a second. Slave owners considered the slaves an asset. They considered them a part of their plantation. They fed them. They provided shelter for them. They took care of them as best they could. Now, they were still slaves, and it was still wrong. Don't get me wrong about this. Don't take what I'm saying here. Now, what I'm saying is they were an asset to the farm. They didn't go out there every day and just start hanging them just for the sake of hanging them. They paid for them. Okay, this as sick as it is, these plantation owners as sick and twisted as they were didn't just go out every day looking to kill their slaves, to kill black people. I know this is a weird thing to talk about. Now, the lynchings that were taking place were in the South, and when it became the racial tensions and the racial divides became popular because of the freedom of the slaves, the freedoms of the African Americans who were living down in the South, and the onset of the Ku Klux Klan by the Democrat Party, by the way, it's amazing to me that most people don't realize, or most people, I don't know, a lot of people, especially people on the left, the leftists, people who have gone to college, who studied social sciences, didn't realize, I've heard this over and over again, when they're told that Abraham Lincoln was basically the founder of the Republican Party. They're amazed at that. Oh, I thought he was a Democrat. Well, when did the Democrats and Republicans switch? You tell me. What was the date that they decided to switch? We've been told over and over that they switched. Well, they switched. See, the Democrats used to be that way, but now it's the Republicans that are racist. That's what we're told now all the time. They switched. Oh, nobody informed us of it. They're the ones who are always bringing up race. It's always about race, all the time. So, interestingly enough, this whole, all of a sudden, this noose thing, there have been, that became an issue with Bubba Wallace. And when that Bubba Wallace, apparently, with this three-car pass that was going on, and Bubba was, I guess, nicked or dinged or something, and one of the guys kind of went into the wall a little bit, and so I don't know what was going on there. And then the next thing you know, it is very obvious that Bubba Wallace rammed his car into the other guy's car, sent him into a wreck. Both of them ended up spinning out and wrecking. Afterwards, their cars basically ended up about the same place at the same time, off the track. Bubba Wallace got out of his car and started physically assaulting the other driver. When he was confronted by a reporter about this, he had all kinds of excuses for why, for what happened, how he was justified, and he was the right, he was the one in the right. That's why he was upset. And then, when asked about the physical altercation afterwards, he said, well, that's sport. Now, there's some argument for, you know, the adrenaline flowing, everything being hyper at the moment, and someone acting out. I get it. That's called a reason. It's not an excuse. And it doesn't excuse you from something called accountability. Well, I got upset and I punched him in the head and then I cut his head off. And I, you know, that's sport. I was just excited in the moment. Oh, well, and okay, that's okay then. No, you still committed a crime. Now, if the other person doesn't want to press charges, that's fine. You still committed a crime, and the world saw it on national television. There's a little thing called an apology that needs to happen here. And maybe you think the other guy needs to apologize to you. That's fine, too. But you're just as contemptible as the person you're blaming for the accident. In fact, if you watch the footage, it's pretty obvious he intentionally rams his car into the other driver. And it's, folks, that to me looks like attempted manslaughter. I mean, you're going in a car over 100 miles an hour. This guy should be banned from motorsports, in my opinion. But no, because someone thought he had a noose, he's the victim. This is this whole victim mentality thing that happens that's supposed to justify whatever the other person does. It's supposed to lift them up and justify them forever. They had all the cars, they had this whole ceremony, but NASCAR had this whole ceremony where jet fighters flew over and did all this stuff for Bubba. Support of Bubba. Solidarity with Bubba. Just, there's a name for people like him. I'm not going to say what it is. Anthony Fauci was doing the same thing with Rand Paul. Rand Paul. Why can't I say his name today? Senator Paul.
Well, they came after me. They were going to come after me with a gun, and they were going to... That has nothing to do with the facts here of this issue of what you knew and what you said to the American people and your involvement and your conflict of interest with this Wuhan lab.
And all the letters that you kept saying were, I'm going to provide you with letters from the people who say that it couldn't have possibly been from the Wuhan lab. There couldn't have been a lab leak. This couldn't have possibly been a manufactured thing. This wasn't gain of function. All of these individuals he's talking about have all of them, every single one of them. One of them back in the main guy who was the main person who wrote this initial letter was fired from a job at a research facility here in the States. I think it was actually a college, it was a university funded program. I think he worked for the university. Got fired, was forced to resign or whatever it was in 2014 for doing exactly what he says they weren't doing. He had stolen the MRSA virus, and he was trying to augment it and do experiments on it. He was caught. And, of course, he denied the whole thing then. He's denying it now. This is Fauci's guy, who's also involved in the Wuhan lab and the NIH. So this is what we have to deal with here, folks. These are the people we're working with. It is insane. This is insanity. It just amazes me. Now, the media, if you want to see a really good... Russell Brand sometimes just amazes me in his brilliance. He put on this little show yesterday about how the levels of heart attacks among 25 to 59-year-olds has sharply risen by like 30%. Myocarditis is an ailment that has been, all of a sudden, everybody has heard this word. Nobody before COVID heard this word. Now, they're going through this whole process. I think it's called Your Health Today or something on MSNBC or CNN or NBC or APC, CBS, whatever. It's one of the legacy medias. And they have this little show on. And he's going on. I'd like to play. Maybe tomorrow I will play some of these clips. If there's nothing else going on, I might actually play some of these clips from his show. Because it's so obvious. They're squirming around the point. But they never talk about the one thing. There's one thing that they will not talk about. That's the jab. They have all these excuses why people are having heart attacks. Well, you know, people weren't going to the gym if they got COVID, they weren't going to the gym. And so they weren't able to go to the gym because the gyms were shut down and then people were locked in their houses. And that's why we're having so many heart attacks now. People weren't diagnosed because they weren't going to the doctor. 30%? Really? They make this one little statement in there that kind of gives the whole thing away. And then at the very end of their broadcast, you'll notice, sponsored by Pfizer. They never talk about the injection. In fact, the only thing they do say about the injection, they reluctantly finally admit, because there's a new study. Okay, first of all, there's been a study out, I think it was in Denmark. Comprehensive study. This is a very good study. Masks did nothing to slow down spread of the virus. Nothing. Zero. In fact, the study shows it may have made it worse. They can't believe it, so they won't come out and say that. In other words, what they're doing is they're saying it by no means reduced it at all. And they leave it hanging there. Because for some reason in this, apparently the numbers in this study, and there was one of the individuals that looked it over, he said, what they're really showing here in the numbers is that it actually made it worse. Now, I have a theory about this. It's simple science. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an epidemiologist or a maskologist. That probably is a real thing. I don't know. I'm not a masketeer. They had So they had this, they had to share this information because it was in the news. So they shared it very briefly. Effectiveness of masks, not so great. Because they brought up the idea that masks may have been contributing to these heart ailments. They had all kinds of excuses, all this different stuff. And then they thought, well, maybe people who had COVID, that COVID was causing it. If you had COVID, that caused your heart problems later on. The problem with this theory was the heart issues didn't start until after the vaccine was introduced. They, in two different parts of their segment, they talked about when these heart ailments started to rise up and become noticed, and then they talked about when the vaccine was available to that age group in two different areas. They didn't talk about it together. They were very careful with that. Obviously careful, almost way obviously careful. But they never brought up the possibility, even a shred of possibility, that the vaccine could potentially be a problem with the heart issues. We can't have that. No, I hope it's not. The other thing was natural immunity, and this is what really grates me, because I had arguments with people early on, people close to me. When I would say the term, I would use the term, I've had it, I have natural immunity, it's probably better than the vaccine. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, the vaccine's much better. Oh, now we're finding out that those who have had COVID and the natural immunity that they have is as good or better than people who've had two vaccine shots. They have a really hard time with this because, of course, they can't make any money at it. And there are still people, these are solid studies. This is why they had to bring them up. But the only reason they have to bring them up is because they have this thing. There's a name for this, but they call it getting out ahead of a story. But there's an actual name for it. Getting out ahead of something. In other words, if you find out that, hey, we've got these documents in our house that we shouldn't have in our house, let's get out ahead of this story. So you've found out that you've done something, or there's some dirt on yourself. You're a politician. You find out there's some dirt on yourself. You get out ahead of the story and you start giving your explanation and you start talking about it. And then you're the one who brings it up and confesses it because you had this ability. You have this ability to get out in front of the story. So that way you can lead the narrative. You don't try to cover it up. You don't try to do anything, but you try to lead the narrative and guide the narrative down a, well, this is nothing. This is a nothing. There's nothing there. There's no there there. Which leads us into the whole Hunter Biden thing. This is another topic that is starting to heat up again. Now, let's just take a step back from this whole thing for a moment. As soon as this thing came out, the intelligence agencies, I'm going to call them that, the bureaucrats came out with this whole bunch of 51 people, signed this letter saying that this has all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. Okay, we've got that. Right, so it's Russian. It's a Russia. Now, let's just back up for a second and talk about this. Joe Biden's running for president. Russia, in all of their abilities, in this incredible operation that they put forth to create pictures of Joe Biden, of Joe Biden's son, all these emails that they spent time creating that implicated Joe Biden, but were mostly about Hunter Biden, thousands and thousands of emails. pictures of him doing things. They came up with all these things. It's all fake and phony. It's obviously not Hunter Biden's laptop. It's not him in those pictures. These aren't his emails. They've been altered. And somehow, Russia, in all of their resources, with all of their resources and all of their intelligence, this was the best scheme they could come up with to keep Biden from being elected, to smear Biden. Let's set up Hunter Biden. That's the way we're going to get to Joe. Because Joe, you know, he's bulletproof. So we'll just do it this way. Our best plan here is to go after Hunter Biden. Make Joe look bad and then nobody will vote for him. So we're being told by the people on the left and the intelligence agencies. This is all Russia's idea. Great job there, Russia. Couldn't come up with a better plan. All your resources, all your mind thinking. I want to know who it was. They were sitting around in the room deciding, hey, let's set up Hunter Biden, and we'll create 40,000 emails and a bunch of pictures of him, and we'll have Joe be the big guy. And I want to know who else in the room was, that's brilliant, let's do that. Of course, they would say, this is brilliant, let's go, however they talk. Whatever, that sounds more German than Russian. Lasvidanya, or whatever. So, I don't know. But they play the American people for fools. People don't step back and think about these kinds of things at all. Speaking of thinking about these kinds of things, there's along the racial issues, I think it was a Scott, what's his name? Scott something. I'm going to see, hopefully I don't lose my recorder here by tapping on other buttons. Where is the paradox of self-awareness? Yeah, that's a paradox. Scott Adams. He's in the hot seat right now. And he's getting called out by all kinds of agencies all around the world. He's the creator and the illustrator, comic book guy, comic strip feller of Dilbert. Been around for probably about what, 50 years? I don't know, long time. And of course, all these newspapers now are canceling him because of what he said. There was a Rasmussen poll that came out. And maybe I can find this. What is going on with this mouse? It is doing some weird things. I'm going to copy that. See, now my mouse is not moving anywhere. Let's go over here. All right. I'm going to look here for Scott Adams and Rasmussen poll. I don't know how to spell Rasmussen. Oh, there it is. It was right there. Rasmussen. New poll today. Well, that's a weird name. That's a weird way to spell it. Rasmussen. I wouldn't have spelled it that way. Rasmussen. Yeah, let's see what. Now. The poll itself is really the issue. Matt Walsh had some interesting comments about this. Let's see what we have here. Of course, this is the Slate, the poll that did in Dilbert creator Scott Adams is even dumber than you can imagine. This is the poll that they're talking about here. On the February 23rd episode of Dilbert creator Scott Adams podcast and nightly YouTube live stream Real Coffee with Scott Adams. Inviting the audience simultaneous sip. They said, do you agree or disagree with the statement? This was the poll. the provocative new Rasmussen poll. Now, Rasmussen is not necessarily a conservative poll organization. That's what the media has you would have you believe in this particular piece here. This is the first question that was in the poll. One of the questions that was in the poll was, do you agree with or disagree with the statement, it is okay to be white? That was one of the questions in this thing. And then he had Adams read the result of the Rasmussen poll. 47% of black respondents were not willing to say it's okay to be white. They couldn't say it's okay to be white. Now think about this for a moment. And Matt Walsh brings up a good point about this. If it's not okay to be white, and you have no choice, you can't change that. I was born into this body with no choice of my own. And it is white. And I'm also male. And no matter what I do, I can't change those two things. I can try to look like a female. I can try to dye my skin. But I am what I am. And if that's not okay with you, who's the bigot here? Simply based on the color of my skin and my gender. Nothing about me and the way I've treated you, anything I've wronged you with. Just by the nature of being a white man somehow offends you, you are a bigot. Or you've suffered some kind of trauma. Which, in either case, gives you no right to be a bigot. Well, you have a right to be a bigot, I guess. Again, it's an excuse. Not a reason. Or not, it's a reason. Not, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. He went on to say everyone should be treated as an individual. Gee, this sounds a lot like Martin Luther King Jr. The content of your character, not the color of your skin. But I guarantee you, those words are not. Now, I know I've talked about this a lot. I'm going around in circles on this particular topic. I think it, the only way this turns around is when the leaders of the black community, the leaders of the African-American churches, especially the churches, stand against this stuff. Stand against this idea of hating whitey. Hating the white man. This life of unforgiveness, root of bitterness, that continues to be perpetuated by race baiters like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And there's plenty of others out there that are even more radical. It's got to end. It has got to stop. It is furthering the divide. And frankly, I think you're just making people mad. And this, I think that Scott's reaction to this whole thing, all this wokeness, he's not necessarily someone I would call is a right winger. He's had it with this stuff. And he makes some statements that I think are a little bit off the beyond the pale here. But again, he's just having the same emotional reaction that so many have. Now imagine if Matt Walsh brings up this comment as well, this point, and it's a very valid point, and it's accurate. He says, if this was a black man saying, stay away from white people, guess what? he would probably be exonerated for that, and probably be lifted up and given more advertising dollars. People would be clamoring for his attention and his show. That's just the nature of the way things are going right now. At the same time, we have these individuals who are quick to pile on and cancel the guy. So I was listening to Jesse Lee Peterson. He's a guy I don't listen to a whole lot. He has a lot. He's got a couple shows a day or something. He puts out a lot of videos on YouTube. I see his stuff coming across my YouTube feed quite often. And I listen to him. Sometimes he's got some viewpoints that are a little bit extreme sometimes, and yet not. I mean, I think he's right about some things but it's just the way he comes across. I guess sometimes I don't always listen to him very much. But I wanted to get his take on this because he has actually interviewed Scott Adams, and he ended up talking about this whole thing, had some people on his panel. Now, one of the things I am always impressed by certain individuals, and one of the things that impressed me about Jesse Lee Peterson is he doesn't tell you what to think. He makes you think, or he tells you how to think, not what to think. And he brings his panel into this thing. He has these two guys that come on, and he's asking them questions. What do you think about this? And he talks about it. And the thing that impressed me was he wasn't telling them what to think. He was asking them what they think and how to reason through this idea and wrestle through the ideas that they had. So that was very good. It was just a very good lesson on, you know, how do you navigate this stuff? How do you think through this kind of thing? So it was interesting, and it was it's well done. And at the end of the thing, he basically said, you know, he respects Scott, and he appreciates the fact that, you know, some people are willing to just say what they think, and they're just going to put the truth out there. The thing that you can't get around is that this poll shows that 48% of the people. Now, I don't know where these people were, what the scope of the individuals, you know, what their demographic was. I have no idea. I think there was about 1,000 people that were questioned. And there were a couple other questions that were asked. It was kind of interesting. The New York the New York Times said this is dubious sampling and waiting techniques in the poll. Rasmussen's results often are an outlier when it comes to, say, presidential approval numbers, which actually Rasmussen has always been more accurate. This is so pathetic when you get the New York Times and how they weigh in on things. Which brings up another question. So the news media now, almost all of a sudden MSNBC and CNN, they're all coming out with this. Oh, McCarthy just decided to give Tucker Carlson 4,300 hours of video of what happened on January 6th. Now we can't trust anything that they do, because now they can start putting things together. They're not a real news organization. They can start putting things together and tampering with this, with all this information, and threatening security, the security of our capital and our nation. Our, you know, this one thing after another, they're already discrediting everything that's going on. As if the January 6th Commission didn't do exactly that. So the reason they're saying this stuff is because that's what they do. This is very typical of somebody who does things, a criminal or somebody who does things wrong. All of a sudden, they've got all the, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They're, you can't trust them, they're going to do all this stuff. That's the stuff you guys do. You tamper with video. You create things. You do. These are the same people that for 5 years, all we heard about was Russia, 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 and we're still hearing about it. They still have not come out and denounced it. They haven't apologized for it. And yet it has been completely debunked. All the stuff about COVID. Oh, the debunked. This is the conspiracy theory that I can play you an hour of video of just different news organizations making the statement, the debunked lab leak theory. And now all of a sudden we're finding out it was a lab leak. They vilified people for saying it. And now all of a sudden they're the ones coming out and say, well, you know, possibly it was a lab leak from China. Well, I think when people weren't willing to say it because it seemed to be xenophobic at the time. Yeah, because you said it was. Because Trump came out and made the statement, this is a Chinese virus, and China was behind it, and it was a lab leak from China. Happened to be a laboratory that Anthony Fauci was involved with heavily. But oh, no, you're xenophobic. You're a bigot. You're a racist. It's a virus that came from China. It's a Chinese virus. It's a China virus. It's from China. It's a China virus. Because it's from China. Oh. It's Tuesday rant day, apparently. I'm just up here ranting because it's Tuesday. No other reason, just Tuesday. I have a busy day ahead of me, but it's not as busy as it was supposed to be. I was supposed to be a lot busier today, but it's not as busy as it was. But hopefully, with the weather's supposed to be getting a little bit better. Yesterday we had nothing but rain all day long, and I have to say, when we get that this time of year, when the ground is frozen and it doesn't absorb things very well, we have a tendency to get some runoff, and the runoff has a tendency to find its way into my basement somehow. And one part of my floor, it was wet, which is kind of annoying. So I got to turn the fans back on and get that all straightened up. The rest of my day, I've got some other things going on as well, but get to meet up with a friend of mine later on today. And tomorrow I've got some things happening as well. I've got to go look at my boat tomorrow, make sure it's okay. Because the next time I see it, I have to start putting it together and getting ready to go in the water. Because I'm going to be busy. Finally got a final schedule from the company that I'm working for now, and it's looking like I'll be in Dallas for a couple days next week, and then home the rest of the week. So that my Friday again will once again be I'll be able to have a live show again next Friday. So the next two Fridays I should have live shows. However, according to my schedule, as it is right now, the next week, I'll be going back to Dallas again on the 17th or whatever that is, 12th, whatever it is. And I will be down there exclusively for the next 3 weeks after that, probably. I'll be home occasionally here and there, but mostly weekends. So the show itself will probably be either a recorded version of in the evenings, or else it's going to be something that I do early in the morning, which I tend to not like to do because it's, I like to work out in the morning, especially when I'm in a hotel like that. It's harder for me to get any exercise, and I tend to like to work out in the mornings, get that out of the way. I feel better throughout the day by doing that. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out. We'll have to see how it goes. It's also harder for me to stay in touch with what's going on in the news just because I'm so busy with stuff down there. But we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, hopefully we'll be able to continue on here with everything the way it looks. But a lot of things to talk about in the news today. And I have a lot of opinions about a lot of stuff. However, Yeah, just a whole mix of things. I just think it feels like there's almost like a perfect storm almost kind of brewing with a lot of things. And I think the news media is trying to straighten up a few of their stories only because what's happening in Congress right now with the Jim Jordan committee, weaponization of bureaucracies, the intelligence agencies, as well as their involvement with news organizations. It's very clear and very obvious. We need to pray that the truth, the light of truth, is exposing this stuff and that the American people will pay attention. The country needs to wake up. Not be woke, but be awake. We need to uphold the standards that God gave us. Pray for each other, folks. God bless. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Take care.